the easiest way to solve this problem is if you could use an LLM to actually summarize that content and give it to you in a way in which that you really are interested in reading. So something hyper-personalized summaries is what we are interested in.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is how pharma can use AI to do hours worth of reading in minutes. We all have a lot to read and very little time in which to do it, and even more in roles requiring literature reviews. Today, AI can do a lot of that for you. I'm with Saikiran Chandra, the founder of SciSpace, who've used AI to create ways to speed up work with research and writing reliably and accurately. Thanks for coming on the show today. It's a pleasure to have you here. Could we start with you telling me a bit about your background, how you got into this, you know, where you started and what led you to found SciSpace?
Thanks for having me here, Dr. Bates. I'm Saikiran, as you mentioned, co-founder of SciSpace. Prior to SciSpace, I started another company called TypeSet. Essentially, the goal with that company was to use AI to automate formatting for researchers, because that's the problem that I faced back when I was in the university. Mm-hmm. And from that point, I was very obsessed or specifically interested in using AI to automate parts of the research workflow. Mm-hmm. And my background is computer science. So essentially, I've been tinkering with AI even when I was back in the university. So yeah, that made me rightly suited for what I was doing with this domain. And I met my co-founder, Shano. He did electrical engineering and he was doing research at Philips. And we both met at this program called Stanford Ignite. And he also comes from the research background. So we kind of shared similar feelings and empathy towards researchers. Mm-hmm. And then we decided to spend the rest of our lives solving problems for them. And that's what I'm up to with SciSpace and TypeSet.
Fantastic. And so let's talk about SciSpace. Can you tell me a bit about what it does and how it works?
Well, SciSpace is basically an AI research assistant. So if mm-hmm. you were to really look at the kind of works that research assistants do in real labs, and whether it could be academia or industry, one of the main tasks that we are interested in is literature review process, right? Mm-hmm. So if you were to do a really good systematic review, sometimes it even consumes weeks of a 5 to 6 people research team, and 45 to 50 hours of time is just went into, you know, creating that systematic review. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is LLMs, the large language models, can comprehend, process, and reason more data than humanly possible. And with that insight, you could actually marry these models to read research content and actually extract concepts, extract interesting aspects which are required for that literature review process. So that's our first tool that we launched with SciSpace. Mm-hmm. And the goal going forward is to automate much more bigger tasks beyond literature review. Mm-hmm. And the way we are going to do that is by tapping into the current trend or growth of the foundation models. So I presume in the next 1 year, we will have foundation models with even more higher reasoning capabilities. And that would unlock a lot more applications for companies like us to automate much bigger tasks.
Nice. Can you tell me about like the summarizing aspects of it?
As you're aware, right, one of the biggest problems with research is this explosion, Cambrian explosion of content, right? Mm-hmm. The domain that I'm interested in is machine learning. And right now you see about thousands and thousands of papers published every week.
Yeah.
So the easiest way to solve this problem is if you could use an LLM to actually summarize that content and give it to you in a way in which that you really are interested in reading. So something mm-hmm. hyper-personalized summaries is what we are interested in. Yeah. So prior to the LLMs or the GPT wave in 2022, we participated in a bigger summarization conference put together by Allen AI. And we won that conference with the highest benchmarks. But that was not using large language models. That was using the traditional LSTM approaches in machine learning. Mm-hmm. So around 2022, once we got a firsthand exposure to GPT-2, that's when we realized this technology has the potential to generalize across a lot of different tasks. Mm-hmm. And summarization is the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. And what data do you use? Does it have access to specific databases, or how does that work?
Right now, we feed into the open access content because that's the only thing which enables us to do it, because any other content beyond that has copyright implications, right? So yeah. We focus right now on open access content, and we feed data from Crossref, Semantic Scholar, Microsoft, and we also have our own crawlers going through these publisher websites and trying to understand open access content from that. So that's the data that goes into the system. And and after that, there is multi-stage process of generating a summary, because one of the problems with LLMs is hallucination.
Yeah.
So to avoid that problem, we built this hybrid orchestration of multiple large language models. And then you get the final summary for the research. And a researcher has the opportunity to actually give feedback, whether it's positive or negative. And that feedback, again, goes back into the system to improve the summary.
I see. So would that's taken the hallucination rate right down for the LLMs then, for your system?
Yes. I really don't, I won't claim that we are 100% accurate, but mm-hmm. among all the current techniques, we are pretty much about 95 to 96%, I guess.
Yeah.
We are doing a benchmarking study, and I think we should be putting out some results there soon.
Okay, I'll be interested to see that. And I also was looking, you've got a citation generator, which looks like that's going to save a lot of time. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's nothing fancy when it comes to LLMs, but this is a problem that researchers have been facing since a long time.
Yeah.
So we thought that, hey, why don't we give this tool for free to students, researchers, early career PhDs to simplify the citation formatting process. So the input goes, you can search for any paper that you're interested in citing, whether that could be a journal article, that could be a thesis, that could be a book, that could be a website, all different types of citations. You could just search it, hit enter, and once you select it, we process that data and we convert that into, I think we have about a couple of thousand citation styles that you can choose. And it cites it completely cites based on the guidelines proposed by these different citation styles.
Interesting. You've got so many different tools in there. I thought it was very cool. You've also got that paraphraser tool. And I saw that you could actually choose the tone that you wanted to write in. Is that correct? That's quite cool.
Yeah. So this is a problem that I've seen when I was back in India. I was talking to a bunch of researchers, and the problem of communicating, the output in English, which these journals accept, is a pretty interesting problem. It's a very recurring one. And people actually currently spend a few hundred dollars per paper in actually giving to a real editor. And they spend about a day or two to just edit that document.
Yeah.
So using LLMs, you can actually do very interesting things, right? You could help researchers paraphrase on real-time basis, and they could choose to pick the language and tone that they really want. This is just the first tool that we launched in the writing workflow. Yeah. We have a couple of other tools that we are planning to launch in the writing workflow, which is not just going to help in paraphrasing, but it would also help them in actually writing the entire research manuscript. So we are trying to analyze all the published content, trying to find patterns and help real researchers to accelerate or amplify their existing writing workflows.
Can you upload your own data as well? So you're doing open source data, but say you had your own papers you wanted to put up there. Can it use that as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there is a My Library function. It's basically like your Google Drive kind of interface. Mm-hmm. You can just upload all your content.
Yeah.
And you could start using these models for search, information extraction, for literature review on the full text of the content.
Yeah.
So we do that, but from the data point of view, we really don't train anything from that full text. And we want to keep it that way because that's copyright policies would not allow us to do that.
Of course, yeah. And with this paraphrasing tool, I'm just thinking for me, actually, I write a lot of blogs and articles, and you can't publish them in multiple places because of Google sandboxing. So I'm just wondering if I did a blog purely for personal, if I did a blog and I used the paraphraser tool, then would that basically have the same content but in slightly different language that I could then publish in multiple places?
Yep, that is correct. And
wow, I like that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It saved a lot of time for me as well I publish these blogs. And there is this slider on the interface. Mm-hmm. If you move that slider, you'll get different variations of the output.
Oh, nice. So what's the slider? What are the parameters of the slider?
So in LLMs, there is something called temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can tweak temperature, you will tweak the creativity of the kind of output, the variations that the model throws out.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good for creative tasks because if you have a human in the loop looking at that output, you could have multiple variations and pick and choose or mix, remix different outputs to find the one that you really love.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And you've also got an AI detector. So I'm assuming if someone writes something in ChatGPT, for example, the tool can detect that.
Yeah, so we did put a caution there. This was an experiment from our company, and AI detection is a problem. Right now, it's pretty much unsolved for.
Mm-hmm.
OpenAI came up with their AI detection model, and then they sunset that entire model purely because it's a hard problem to solve.
Mm-hmm.
We were also thinking to do that, but we had a lot of users using it. So we wanted to be a little more thoughtful on how we want to end this tool.
Yeah.
But it's a very interesting research problem, and that's the reason why we even picked that problem statement.
And so what AI writers can it detect?
So we have specifically designed it for research scholarly content.
Mm-hmm.
We've trained specifically on that. But even in scholarly content, you know, there is a percentage sometimes it gets wrong, right? So everyone has to use this with caution. Mm-hmm. But we have specifically trained it for only scholarly content and not any other academic content.
Yeah. And who are your clients mainly?
So right now we have about close to 1 million active researchers across the world using the site.
Wow.
And these researchers belong to academia, a bunch of universities, they belong to labs, they also belong to biomedical and pharma companies.
Okay.
So we have started working with a couple of pharma companies specifically to help them in R&D and as well in medical science, essentially medical affairs teams use it.
I was just thinking medical affairs would be perfect for this. Yeah.
Yeah. So these are the two areas that we are specifically interested in. We've onboarded a few design partners there, and we would probably deploy our solutions in 2 to 3 months from now.
Oh, that's really cool. And go ahead.
And beyond pharma, we are interested in research labs, wherever there are research assistants. Right now, every lab has about 5 to 6 research assistants. They pay about $40,000 every year on that. And a lot of these tasks, you can actually use LLMs to automate. So that's another target that we're interested in.
And what about privacy? Because one of the big challenges originally with OpenAI was, you know, that anything people put in could go into training it. What are you finding with yours?
So one of the things that we are doing with these design partners is we would not use OpenAI. Mm-hmm. We would use our own large language models, which we have trained. And right now, these models are pretty competent when it comes to benchmarking, especially with GPT 3.5. We have not yet reached to a point in which we have a model which matches the reasoning capability of 4. But the use cases that I'm really interested in solving for these companies can be automated with the models that we have in-house.
Yeah.
So that's another area that we are interested in, where you really don't need to send any data to third-party models.
Anywhere else,
So that you have it hosted with
you. And it's secure as well, so other people can't get to your part of it. Okay.
Correct.
And so could you tell me, say someone's listening and they go, okay, I really want to use this. How easy is it to start using for all these different aspects of it? Could you take me through, you know, someone signing on and what how it works?
Yeah, I mean, you can just go to scispace.com and sign up to the tool and you could actually start using it. It was free until last week. We launched our paid plan just 2 days ago.
I should have signed up before that.
Yeah. So you could still use all of our tools for free, but in limited bandwidth.
Yeah, of course.
So that's the catch.
Yeah.
You could use it, and once you hit the limits, you could decide to upgrade to one of our premium plans, and that's pretty much unlimited premium plan.
Okay.
And I would encourage everyone to upload their own content so that you can actually use it on full text, because the more content you give, the better the results are.
Yeah, of course. And what kind of is it, a subscription model?
That is correct. So it's a monthly subscription model.
Okay.
And there's a huge discount for an yearly subscription.
Okay. How long have you had it on the market for now? I mean, I know you just started the subscription last week, but...
It's the third day. Today.
Okay. And so what should listeners be thinking about? Like, there's other LLMs that people use for this kind of thing. What are the kinds of things that they should be looking for? Because obviously you want one that has reduced hallucinations, that's private, secure. Is there anything else that people should be looking for when they're looking at large language models for this kind of purpose?
Yeah, I think LLMs in itself have all these inherent issues, and there are a lot of companies trying to solve each issue one at a time, including us on the hallucination space. But I think beyond LLMs, it's the workflow that really matters. And the kind of products or the kind of interfaces that you need to build for these LLMs is very different than the kind of interfaces that you would build in Web 2 kind of software world, right?
Yeah.
So I think I would also encourage everyone to think about the workflow that they really have currently and what tool actually provides them with the really best seamless experience.
Yeah.
And LLMs will improve from the user data. So just go with the one that you feel comfortable with, because in 5 to 6 months down the line, a lot of problems that we are talking about would greatly improve, right? So you would see less of those issues happening.
Yeah, I know. It's just getting stronger and stronger every day, isn't it, with the more data that goes in. So how much time do your clients report that they're saving for various tasks when they use your product?
Yeah, we ran a survey and we've seen about 3 to 4 hours, 2 to 3 hours sometimes reported saving every week.
Wow. Okay, that's good.
And if you compound that, that's about right now, we based on the user base that we have, we've already saved hundreds and thousands of hours every week. And that's one metric that I'm super interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, fascinating, really, really interesting. And I'm very keen to try it out. For anyone listening who wants to get in touch with Sai Qian and his team, I guess, do they go to saispace.com?
Yep, you could find me on Twitter. It's @SaiKiranChanda. Mm-hmm. And you could also email me, saikiranchanda@saispace.com.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time today. Really interesting, and I'm really keen to give it a go so I can actually get more leverage from the blogs. That would be really amazing.
Fair enough. Let me know how it goes. Thanks a lot, Dr. Bates, for putting this together.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.